Kingdom Project is all about making a kingdom impact and having our wire choir, our kids ministry made a tremendous impact in our worship. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, let's celebrate the gift of our kids and our kids ministry. Thank you, Stephanie, for your leadership and all volunteers who work so diligently with the greatest asset of the kingdom, our children. It's just so good to see them worshiping the Lord. I'm going to say that again because I needed to hear it. It's so good to see children worshiping the Lord and leading us in worship. That is truly a blessing as God has continued to challenge us through his word and this series to understand his expectations of us, the body of Christ, the church that makes up the kingdom of God. God wants to use us through his rule and reign through us to make an impact, not for our name's sake, but all for his glory. We celebrate him because he's been good. And since this is the day the Lord has made, you ought to rejoice and be glad in it. So look to your neighbor. If they don't look glad, that add them to your prayer list right now because they don't realize just how good God has been. Even on our worst days, God is still good to us. And so let's go to God as we look to his word that he might speak to us, that we might hear fresh revelation from the Spirit of Christ and how we can be better kingdom citizens. You know, after Christ taught his disciples on what was considered a mountainside, during that teaching, he moves from teaching them about the characteristics of kingdom citizens to invite their attention to understand their purpose as kingdom citizens. And so would you join me in your copy of God's word to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is where our message for the morning is coming from, and our reading will begin at the 13th verse. For some, this may be a familiar description that you've heard before. For others, it's the first time that we may be hearing what Christ and how Christ has described us to be those who indeed are following him. I pray that you lean in and you hear the master teacher tell you his expectations for your life. This is what he tells his followers. This is what he tells the believers, Anthony. He says, beginning at verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He goes on in verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Say that one more time. He says, in the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we want to look at this passage with this thought in our minds, and that is God's expectation for us to make a kingdom impact. We are called to make a kingdom impact. Followers of Christ are transformed by the Spirit of Christ to impact the world for Christ. There's a purpose. God has called us out so that we might be ambassadors, representatives of his kingdom. Notice I said his kingdom, which means then, Bree, that he's the king. And as followers of Christ, we become servants of the king. And the king wants to show forth his glory through our very lives. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we know that your word is true. As our kids, our babies have sung the belief in your word, believing that your word is true, we come to you, Holy Father, just asking that you would prepare our minds, our hearts, our very lives, that we might be receptive to the truth of your word, that like a seed, your word will be implanted deeply within our hearts and our lives, that you can use us as your instruments to lead others to know you in a personal and real way. Help us, dear God, that we might fulfill your call for our lives as you've sent us out to make a kingdom impact throughout this world. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. See, what Jesus is doing is he's describing the impact and influence of kingdom citizens. That description you heard, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, is not written to just anyone. It wasn't just spoken to everyone who was there. No, this is a specific expectation. This is a specific transformation that takes place in the lives of those who've given their lives to following Jesus Christ. Not just knowing about him, but following him. Allowing his lordship to reign over your life, that you will live your life as his children. Or in the context of our series, as kingdom citizens. Notice how he starts. They're there in the meadow. They're outside, but they're leaning in close to hear what the master teacher has to say. And Jesus tells those Ty who are listening closely, he said, let me tell you now, not just about how your conduct is to be, but let me tell you the core characteristic of who you are. He says, you, believers, if you are a follower of Christ, you are the salt of the earth. Notice how he's focusing immediately on not what we do or just what we do, but he focuses in on who you are. Christ says, you are like salt, heavenly salt that seasons the earth. You're like the salt of the earth, that you are called by Christ to make a Christian impact in the world around you. This is how we glorify him. You know, God expects those who believe in him, place their trust in him through Jesus Christ, and follow him. He expects, equips, empowers us to glorify him by producing good fruit for him. I'm in the Bible, because John 15 and 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, Jesus says, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. See, discipleship and following Christ is not just proclaiming by our lip service that we are followers of Christ or that we are Christians. No, being a disciple of Christ is also by demonstrating it in our life service that we are followers of Christ. Because we understand, as Ephesians 2:10 declares, for we are his workmanship. Somebody say workmanship. Workmanship. This word workmanship really is where we get our English word poem from. And he's saying that we are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for good works, which God beforehand has ordained that we should walk in it. Notice Jesus prioritizes who we are over what we do. What we do is supposed to be an overflow from who we are. You might remember our series in James, where James, the half-brother Jesus, writes this. He says, faith without works is dead. How many declare that you are Christians? I got 3 people on this side, 10 people on this side. All right. I'm asking again, Shannon, because I don't think they heard the question. Let me ask that one more time. How many of you all declare or profess that you are a Christian? I praise God for that, because what you're really declaring then is that you are followers of Christ. That's what you're declaring. If you are a Christian by profession, then you're saying that your life is a reflection of Christ. And if you know anything about our Lord and Savior, you know that Christ makes all the difference. See, the kingdom of God is God's reign and rule in and through his people. And so he is calling us and granting us the purpose of making an impact in the world around us. He says, you are like salt. In preparation, I was reflecting on the usage of salt, and Dr. Al, time wouldn't permit me to go through the 4,000 plus usages of salt. I mean, if you have time, we can go ahead and run through them. Picnic in the park's coming up. That's right. I need to get you out somewhere around 2 o'clock. So we'll get there. Some of y'all are like, But salt. Salt is used as a seasoning agent. It's used to flavor food. And if you grew up in the South, not like some of you from Jersey and them other places, but if you grew up in the South, you know there's some things you just don't do without salt. Okay, let me check for a moment. You ever eaten rice without salt? Mm-hmm. Somebody say, yeah, I'm praying for y'all. Grits without, do y'all even know what grits is? Oh, I'm in Texas, we know what grits are. But have you eaten grits without salt? Let's be honest, no matter what the doctor may tell you about your salt intake, there are certain things. Listen to your doctor. But doing some research, I contacted some medical professionals. They didn't want me to know to identify them, so I'm not going to identify everybody that I contacted about this thing. But I was just wanting to figure this thing out. I was like, listen, why is it that every time someone's admitted into the hospital, every time they're going there, they're given this salt solution? And you know it was messed up when you talk to professionals. They come up with some professional terms, you know, like hypertonic and all that other stuff. I said, no, I need you to get this in layman's term. What are you talking about? What's in the bag? She said, oh, potassium chloride. I said, no, I don't want it. No, what's in the bag? Is it salt? Oh, you're medical too, huh? Yeah, that's it. It's salt water. I said, well, why is it that it is the practice of medical professionals to immediately give patients when they're being admitted salt? Normal patients admit salt. She said to me, because their potassium, most people, potassium level is already low. And so what salt does is to help hydrate or help the human body stay hydrated. Because Greg, most of us, I'm told, are really dehydrated. I heard that, and all of a sudden, Fred, I'm thinking about Christ saying, you're the salt of the earth, because without the believers being in the earth, then there's a dryness that would happen in the community. Not only a dryness, but really a decay. Things would fall apart, because the reality is that God not only uses his people to be a blessing to the world around us, but he also uses people to preserve the world around us. Let me go ahead and work for a moment. Because in the ancient days, there was no refrigeration. There was no way to keep things cool. Let me check. Not just the ancient days. Any of you ever grew up in the days where you don't admit to it right now. But we need your history where you used to salt the meat in order to keep it from decaying. I'm trying to help you understand something, that one of the reasons God has called us. I got you, Dr. Al. Teach those young people. They need to understand this. They take it for granted, electricity and all that stuff. I'm not saying you weren't here when the electricity wasn't here, Dr. Al. But they would salt the meat in order to preserve it. And as a metaphor, Christ teaches us that he has made us, recreated us in the spirit of Christ to use us to slow the decay of the darkness that is present in this world. You might remember in your Bible studies when God was talking to Abraham, and Abraham was asking him about Sodom and Gomorrah, and God said, you know, there was some wickedness that was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the main reason Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in judgment was because there were not enough righteous people in the city. The reason why our community hasn't been destroyed yet, I sincerely believe the reason why our community, our families, our generations haven't been destroyed yet by sin is because God has placed some righteous people in dark places to make a difference. Did you catch that? That believers ought to make a difference everywhere you go. That when you step up in the room, you ought to make some things salty. Ask your neighbor, are you salty? Not in a bad way, young people, not in a bad way, huh? But are you making an impact? salt makes a difference in everything it's applied to. It speaks to our influence. Influence to help from dehydration, influence in terms of filtration. If you have a water treatment system, you know that salt can filtrate some things. Influence in using us to bring people to help. But not only that, in ancient time, check this out, that salt was not only used as a preservative, salt was not only used as a hydration, salt was not only used for filtration, but salt was also used for compensation. Because Roman soldiers were often compensated by giving them salt. Where we get that term, is he worth his, oh, you know it here, is he worth his salt? In fact, the Latin word for salt, bartering by salt, is where we get our word salary from. And so you see, salt was an essential ingredient for life. And Christ tells those who follow him that we are his workmanship to make an influence in the lives around us, that God has placed something in your life, that when you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only do you receive the gracious gift of salvation, not only do you receive forgiveness of your sins, and you should want to come to Christ for forgiveness of your sins, that if your life is not being lived out for its purpose, then you need to come to Christ, because Christ will redirect your life so that your life will be lived out for the purpose that he has ordained for your life to be lived out. But in that, not only does he give you forgiveness for your sins, not only does he give you redemption by his blood, not only does he give you a place to belong in the family of God, but guess what? God doesn't stop giving, because he gives you grace, he gives you mercy, but Kelly, he also gives you gifts. And last week we talked about that, how the Spirit of God gives us gifts. So let me park for a moment, because the gifts of God flow through the talents God has given those people who've placed their trust in him, that he uses his gifts to flow through your talent. Did you see the babies up here? Did you see them all up here? Did you see them singing? That's their talent. Their talent is singing. But did you see the joy that was coming from their singing? That's the spiritual gift that God is using to get to you, so that that talent and that gift can grab a hold of you, that you could have joy too. Now, just like our babies sung to us the glory of God, how can God use you to get his glory across to others around you? He says you are the salt of the earth. But then he says, but if you lose your taste, if you lose your saltiness, if you don't fulfill the purpose, the expanded purpose that God has for your life, then what good is it of you having the gift? Do you want to go before God in judgment? And God says, I gave you the gift of encouragement. I've given you the gift of joy. I've given you the gift of peace. I've given you the gift of teaching, but you never used it. Listen, God has equipped you with gifts when you place your trust in him. And one of the assessment tools we use, I gave you this to you last week. I want to share it to you again, just in case you didn't get it, that if you text the word kingdom to 77069, text the word kingdom to 77069, it'll give you a link to an assessment that can help you discover the gift that God has placed in you, and then you use those gifts to make an impact in the world that God has assigned you to. So you're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, I should say. Salt is influence. But then he goes further and he says, not only are you the salt of the earth, he says, you are the, anybody reading their Bibles? Oh, okay, right. You are the light of the world. Not only are you the salt of the earth, you are the, you are the light of the world. Turn to somebody and say, is your light on? Yeah. Is your light on? You are the light of the world. This is what he says. Notice the text. These are not recommendations. No. This is the expectation. This is an imperative where Christ is telling you, you are the light of the world. You are the church, the body of Christ. You're the light of the world. That Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 61 and 2. He says to believers, arise, shine, For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness upon the people. So listen to me. The reason why we are called to shine the light of Christ through our lives is because we're living in a dark world. A world that's dark by hopelessness. A world that's dark by sinfulness, a world that is dark and people are groping through the dark, living lifestyles of blindness where they can't see because they're waiting for someone who knows the way, the truth, and the life, waiting for someone who knows Jesus Christ as the light of their lives. He's waiting for someone to shine the light in their lives. I'm looking for Sam. There he is. I was with Sam one day, I think it was last year, one day, Sam and I were together. You know, you got to watch who you hang out with. Beth, I'm not talking about Sam. But yes, I am. I'm talking about Sam. Because God bless Paulette, Sam, and I, we were very close friends. Thank God for our brotherhood and friendship. We went to some property the Lord had blessed them with there in Del Rio. Del Rio, there in Del Rio, I mean, it's a massive amount of property where you get to see God's creation. It hadn't been polluted by man's inventions. It's just to see God's creation. And there we were. I think we were in the back 40. We were driving. We were on some mules. Not the animals I'm talking about. Souped up golf carts. Yeah, that, all right. So we were on some mules, and we were traveling down. But all of a sudden, I noticed something. You know, there was no roadways where we were. There were no pathways on the acreage that we were in. And I saw the sun was going down. And I looked at Sam. He looked like he knew where he was going. But then all of a sudden, y'all, it got dark. Now, I'm a country boy, so, you know, I know darkness, but... But that Del Rio darkness, that's a different kind of darkness. Gia, I'm telling you, listen, he look what he did. That's why I think you got to watch who you ride with. We ride in the mule, right? It gets dark. All of a sudden, he stops the mule. And then he turns the lights off. And I think he's looking at me because I hear his voice coming from that direction, but I can't see him. And if I can't see him, I know he can't see me. And Sam tells me, he says, now think, we're on the border. How difficult does your life have to be, he says, to travel through the darkness because you want to get to light? He said, we couldn't do it without help. I said, you sure right. This thing working? He said, oh, but I know how to turn the light on. I said, praise Jesus, praise the Lord, turn the light on. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that this world is dark, and you wonder why God has assigned you in some dark places. Well, God is a very intentional God. He knows where he's placed you. He knows where he's placed you to work. He knows where he's placed you to live. I know sometimes you're wondering, God, of all the families you could have put me in, you put me in this family. It's so dark. I don't know why you have me in it. Don't look at your family members right now. Not a good time. But God, why you placed me here? And God said, I placed you there because that's a place that needs light. That we don't only shine our light on a Sunday when everybody's in here to celebrate Christ, but when he sends you to work and sends you to school and sends you to the places where you know it's dark, and you're asking God, why have you sent me there? He says, because I need my light to outshine the darkness, and he's assigned you to shine his light. Now, the question is, will you shine the light at home, and will you shine the light at school, and will you shine the light at work? Okay, I need some old school Christians right now, because back in the day, the church I grew up in, we used to sing this song, says, I'm going to let my little light shine everywhere I go. I'm going to let my little light shine. Anybody know that song? In the church house, I'm going to let my little light shine. In the schoolhouse, I'm going to let my little light shine. And when you ran out of houses to talk about, you said, well, just shine, shine, shine. I'm going to let my little light. I got somebody who know that thing. We're going to teach the congregation how to sing that. But not only sing it, but live it. Live it. For he says that his light is within us. And many of us know that famous popular passage of scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's an impactful verse of scripture. It's one that we should commit to memory. But the second few verses that follows are just as important. John 3, 18, 19. Listen to what it says. Whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. I like verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. John 8, Jesus tells us, I am the light of the world. And now in Matthew, he turns to those who follow him and says, not only am I the light of the world, but guess what? You are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Jesus. How can both of us be light? The Holy Spirit pulled me aside and said, wait a minute. Understand this. You're not the source of light. You're the reflection of light. The source of light is Christ. That's why when good things happen in your life, you ought not take credit, because that credit don't belong to you. It belongs to Christ. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He says, but we are to reflect the light of Christ so that those who see the goodness in our lives can also give credit to the God of our lives. He says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. I love the way Robert Lewis in his work, Church of Irresistible Influence, Robert Lewis wrote this. He said, filled with the Holy Spirit, the church demonstrated a spiritual energy and depth that transformed the surrounding culture. We are the church and can become a strong, well-traveled link between heaven and earth in our community. You know, one of our distinctions as a church is to love our community. And we're gonna love them with the love of Jesus Christ, because the love of Christ shines light in the midst of a dark society. Have you ever been there before? Wondering where your hope's gonna be, where not anybody gonna love you, and you turned your heart and your trust over to Christ, and all of a sudden your burdens were lifted. Anybody in here who ever been there where you're about to give up and you came to Christ anyway, and Christ opened up the floodgates of heaven and blessed your life? Well, he wants to use your life to be that kind of blessing in the life of someone else. But I have to warn you. Because then Christ says something there. He says, yes, you are the light of the world. Yeah. He said, but if your light is hidden, if your light is put under a bushel, then or a basket, said, how then will it give light to everyone else? We as the church are supposed to shine our lights. That's what he says in verse 16. He says, let your light so shine. I love this. You don't have to make it shine. You have to get out of the way for Christ to shine through you, which means you got to put your personality, your prerogative, your preferences on the side and say, God, I know this is what I want to do, but I'd rather do what your will is for me to do rather than what I want to. I don't want to be this kind of person, so I'm going to be the person you've called me to be. I want to shine. I want you to shine your light through me. Let me hurry on here. If you're traveling from the DFW area and you're traveling south on 45, you'll notice some things that are popped up all over the place. There's some billboards that have popped up all over the place because there's some Texas counties who've declared a state of emergency for April 8th. See, something is going to happen predicted on April 8th in anticipation for what he called a total solar eclipse. And it just so happened that this total solar eclipse, Hillary, is going to pass through the state of Texas, be very visible through the state of Texas. And so many counties now have issued a state of emergency as they anticipate a horde of people gathering in the county to witness this spectacular event. But one governor said it this way, one mayor said it this way. He said, that many people at one time in our county will not only reduce the resources of our county, but when darkness happens, chaos will take place. I'm trying to help you understand something. The reason why we're to shine our light, because we know from experience that in darkness, there is chaos. In darkness, there's hopelessness. In darkness, people don't know where to go. But when you know Jesus Christ, he shines a light in your life, and he can use your life to lead others to Christ. Oh, but we gotta get out of the way of the light. Because in an eclipse, let the nerd side of me come out right quick. In an eclipse, a total eclipse, the moon blocks the sunlight from getting to the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. Light cannot be hidden, but it can be blocked. Can be distorted. We can get in the way of our light shining. And he calls us to shine our lights for the glory of God. I was debating when I would share this with you all, because you know they said confession is good for the soul, but it's bad for the, some of you know a deacon, pray hard for me, okay? Bad for reputation. So the other day, I'm gonna tell you all, not for you to judge me, but for you to pray for me, all right? Not for you to judge me, pray for me. The other day I was visiting some of our members who had fallen ill in the hospital, and you know, every now and then, I don't know if this happens to you, but I get tired of so many hospitals having the same name. And so I went to Memorial Hermann with the intention of visiting a church member. So I went to Memorial Hermann, and I was told it was in Katy. So I went to Memorial Hermann in Katy. But I got to Memorial Hermann and asked them about the patient, and they said, oh, no, we don't have that patient there. I said, oh, yes, you do, because I talked to them this morning before I drove way over here in Katy, and they told me, no, I'm sorry, I said it like a pastor. You know, I want you to recheck, if you don't mind, check the patient lost there, because I'm sure their name's there. Would you check one more time for me, please? And you know it's bad when they ask you, well, what church are you from? I said, okay, here it is. But the patient wasn't there, so I'm confused, right? So I called back. And I spoke to one of the family members, and they told me, they said, yeah, we're in Katy, but we're on the Gessner side of Memorial Hermann. I said, wait, Katy and Gessner, that's not, no. I said, but, okay, all right, I'll be there in a little while. So I drive from Katy, and I go to Gessner, and I'm telling you, don't judge me, Lee, just pray for me. See, I drive there, right? And so I circled around the parking lot, and you know, I was praying for a parking spot, and couldn't find a parking spot, and then, if you ever been to any of these hospitals, it's like a mall or a city, right? And so I parked on one end, and so now I go into the building, I'm getting somewhere here, I'm getting in the building, Shannon, and there I am, I want to shine my light. But there I am, I'm having some thoughts that are distorting my light from shining. No, don't judge me. I'm telling you what happened. And so I walk into the building, and I remembered they told me that they were on the fifth floor. I said, okay, the fifth floor. They gave me the room number. All right, I'm going on the fifth floor. I went in the building, got to the fifth floor. I went to the room that they told me they were going to be in, and I walked in, and nobody was there. Now, as a pastor, all kinds of emotions happen when that's the case, right? But then I noticed something. There was no one in the room next to the room that I went to visit. And you won't believe this. The whole floor, nobody was in the room. I asked the Lord, did a rapture come and you forgot me? And I saw this guy. And he had a scan card, and he scanned through some doors, and I saw the door opening, so I walked in. You know, I just kind of slid in like that. And he started walking one way, so I started walking another way. And he looked at me, and you know when somebody look at you, and you already know, say, this ain't going to be good. So he looks at me, I look at him, and I'm like, I belong here. Walking down the aisle, got to the room, and all of a sudden I'm perplexed. Because nobody's in that area either. And so he comes to me, and you already know how that goes. You're like, okay, he's going to tell me I don't belong here. He's going to tell me I'm not supposed to be here. And so he walks up to me. He says, can I help you? And Anthony, you know, if you were there, you would have said, no, I don't need no help. I'm going to do what I got to do. Yeah. You may have learned that from your pastor. But anyway, I said, no, I'm on the right floor. I'm on the right floor. Perhaps they're doing therapy or something because I know this is a room because they told me this is a room. I put it on my phone. I see it's a room. This is what I'm supposed to be. And the young man, I said young man, he was, it shouldn't matter that he, but it was obvious he was special needs. And he looks at me and he says, sir, you got the right room, but you're in the wrong building. I was humbled, like immediately, humbled. But then he did something. He then takes me by my hand. Now I'm uncomfortable. He walks me to a select elevator for personnel use, and he scans his card. Doors open. He scans his card. He's to push the floor. He worked on the fifth floor where I was in the wrong building. But he rolled down with me to the first floor, scanned his card, got me outside the building. And he said, the building you need to be in, sir, is across the campus. He said, but don't worry. I said, man, I appreciate this. Thank you so much. He said, no, don't worry. I'm going to take you there. And he walks with me all the way to the building where I belong at. And then he looks at me and says, God bless you. Holy Spirit grabbed me and said, that's how you let your light shine. That when you see the opportunity to make an impact for the glory of God, you use that opportunity. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't have the sin of silence about the opportunity. You trust God enough to say, you know what, God, if you shine a light in my life, God, let me pour that grace out in somebody else's life. God, if you've forgiven me, help me to forgive somebody else. God, if you've been so good to me, help me be good to somebody else. Let your light so shine. You know, if we shine our light, then people in the dark will come from the darkness to live in the light of Christ. But we got to shine our light. In a political season, shine the light of Christ. When people are bickering about things, shine the light of Christ. Because he is a light that is revealed in and through our lives. I'm in this way. Ephesians 5th chapter, 8th verse says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. You know, when I was your age, you may not believe this, but we didn't have cell phones. I'm not by myself. Some of y'all have cell phones. You got to understand, I come from a generation that we pre-Google. But we were allowed to play outside. No, we didn't play our own games. We played games outside. Somebody know that. We drank water from the water hose. We didn't have all the cushions on the bikes. We just fell down and got back up. I ain't talking about anybody else's generation. I'm just talking about my own generation. Brush that thing off. And sometimes you get so caught up in playing that you don't realize how late it's getting. Somebody know it. But everybody knew that there was a signal in the neighborhood. Even if it had one on one corner in your community, you knew that when the street lights came on, it was time for you to go home. The street light is on. Christ is shining the truth of his love for you right now. And he's saying it's time for you to come home. You've been feeling around in darkness so long, and you know that it's never satisfied. Darkness only magnifies loneliness and confusion and chaos. But now you see the light of Christ saying, come on. No matter how long you've been distant from Christ, there are so many witnesses in here who could tell you that when Christ comes in your life, he transforms your life. The darkness is dispelled and you're able to live in the light of Christ. I'm inviting you to come home. Come and discover the life that Christ intends for you to live. We stand all over the building. And believers, let there be no walking unless you're walking in response. Let's pray that somebody right now will say, you know what? I'm ready to leave the darkness and accept the light of Christ. This is your invitation. God wants a relationship with you that he could teach you the life that he intends for you to have. A life of belonging in the family of God. A life of growing in the things of God with the people of God, the church. That you might glorify God with your life. If that's you, I would invite you to leave the aisles. Come down these aisles. Meet me here in the front that we could celebrate you coming out of a life of darkness into a life of light. Because Christ wants you to have the life that he died for you to have. It's abundant life. It's a life of belonging, it's a life in him. So come out of the darkness. Whatever that is in your life, I want to invite you to come. That's the first invitation. Say yes to Jesus Christ. Second invitation is to become a part of a believing church family. And if you have not said yes to church membership, we invite you to come and learn with us what it means to follow Christ and make a kingdom impact. We invite you to come. And thirdly, if you've walked away from God, I invite you right now to walk back to him. Bible says God loves the backslider. He loves you. He never stopped loving you. And he's calling you now to come home. So I invite you right now as we sing.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.